tonight, with it being just us, how about we take a look at a man's message that he preached into a group of people, that he was that were against him, and I find it very, very, very encouraging. It's a real thought to try to put yourself into his shoes or sandals, if you will. But he was spirit-filled and led of the Lord to preach such. And I was thinking about you young folks and we who are older and having gone and been in Sunday school, studied the Word of God, had the Word of God taught to us, Old Testament accounts in the Scripture about the patriarchs, about a man named Abraham, and about the Lord's nation, Israel, and the sons of Jacob, and the nation that they became, and all those different things that the Lord gives us in the Old Testament, and how does that all come around to ultimately the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if you turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 7, Brother Stephen is here. He's been called on the carpet, if you will. And he's been falsely accused by the Jews of that day, the leadership of the Jews that day. He's a man called of the Lord and ordained to be a deacon in that first church there in Jerusalem. It says in chapter 6 of Acts that he is full of faith and power and did great wonders and miracles among the people. So he's a man used that way of the Lord. And he's found in verse number 9 of chapter 6 disputing with these different Jews of five different regions there around the Mediterranean. And they couldn't resist the wisdom of the Spirit by which he spake, it says in chapter 6, verse 10. And so then they brought the false accusations, just like they did with the Lord. They stirred up the people in Acts 6, verse 12, set up false witnesses in verse number 13, and then the accusation here, they've heard him say, Acts 6, 14, that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on Stephen, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. So let's see here what Brother Stephen preaches to them and see this summary and condensing of much of the Old Testament and how it leads to Christ. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" And he said, Stephen speaking, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The Lord, the God of glory, appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt at Charan." And so here he begins with Abraham. Begins with Abraham to tell the account of how it is and how he believes and knows that Jesus is the Savior. That Jesus has come to brought that new and living way, that New Testament. And he said unto him, God speaking to Abraham, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee." Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell, right here in Israel, in these days, Canaan, as it was originally called. Palestine is what it's referred to in this day by the naysayers of Israel, but it's the land of Israel. So he brought us to where we're at right now. And remember, he's speaking these things in Jerusalem. And he gave him none inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him, to Abraham, for a possession. God made the promise. And to his seed, his children after him, when as yet he had no child. So this is the account about before Isaac is born unto Abraham of Sarah. And God spake on this wise, verse 6, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and they should bring them into bondage, and treat them evil for 400 years. And Brother Mark is studying the life of Brother Moses, has referred to this passage, of course, teaching out of Exodus about Brother Moses, and that involved, that time involves all of that, a sojourning that would last for several centuries, oppression even in it, and you know, and the people, the Jews that Brother Stephen is preaching to, they know these things. You know, they hear and they hold to these things. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. Brother Mark's teaching about that in the adult Sunday school class with the plagues. And after that, they shall come forth and serve me in this place. Okay, so they know those things are so. They know that's their history. They hold to that. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision to Abraham. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And so here we come to Jacob's sons. He brings us quickly to them, the foundation of the creation of the nation. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him. You remember that? He poses that to them, and they're thinking of all those details that they know. And delivered him out of all of his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. And so that account they're very familiar with in the book of Genesis there. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. Jacob is there with his family over in Canaan. Joseph is in Egypt to the southwest. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known unto his brethren. And so it's a real quick summary. He's taking advantage of their knowledge of the accounts and bringing that out. And Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. And so it's revealed that the Lord had provided to rescue Jacob's family through the abuse and oppression of Brother Joseph. The Lord was not foiled by it. The Lord used it indeed to deliver them, and sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 315 souls. And so the count there, including Brother Joseph and his children and family. So Jacob went down into Egypt, and he died, he and our fathers, the patriarchs, the Jacob's sons, and were carried over into Sychem, and laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Emor, the father of Sychem or Shechem. And when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. And so that going into Egypt and the death of the patriarchs, the long years that they were there, the centuries that they were there, the Lord caused them to grow, and multiplying the children of Jacob did, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. And there's some interesting history that they believe is known about Egypt and how it was a totally and complete different group of people that came in and defeated the Egyptians and took over. Folks that came from the south of the continent of Africa is historically what's believed by some. The same dwelt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children. Brother Mark's mentioned about that, how Moses was preserved in that, to the end they might not live. In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And so just a few words, a few sentences that tell, because he's counting on them knowing the account in detail. And we can rush through all those things in our mind about the Ark of Bulrushes and the care of his mother and Miriam that was there to tell Pharaoh's daughter and such, and how the Lord worked in all that. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt, of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And so he was raised there in the king and Pharaoh's household. And he was full 40 years old. It came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And so he knew. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. That's something that we kind of don't see when we read it. When we read it in the book of Exodus about that here Acts makes clearer for us that was the thinking of Moses. That was given to the Lord, to Brother Luke, to put here. And of course, the preaching is at hand of Stephen, and that's being documented here in the scripture. That Moses thought that he would help them then, but it wasn't time. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, "Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another?" But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, "Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us?" And so that was a surprise. "Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday?" Oh, they know. Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire and a bush. And Moses saw it, and he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, "I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And we know the Lord Jesus makes reference to this, present tense. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were long dead, but Jesus says, "I am their God now." They live. They live in the Lord. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, "Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt." This Moses, whom they refused, saying, "Who made thee a ruler and a judge?" And Stephen's making a plug there, isn't he? He's making a plug in that. He's taking that about how Moses was rejected, that the Lord used him and sent him to do this work. Moses didn't understand the timing right, and the Lord brought that timing to pass in his own good pleasure. But that is something that he's making a point here about, and ultimately the end that he's going to come to. The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. God's timing, God's power, God's plan, the Lord's working. He brought them out, verse 36, after that he showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, signs in the Red Sea, the parting thereof. They went over on dry ground. You young folks remember hearing about that and studying about, reading about that in Sunday school and in the preaching in our church, how the Lord delivered by the plagues and by those things, that opening up of the Red Sea, and in the wilderness for 40 years. Those are all things that are leading to what the Lord is doing. The Lord's got a plan. Now, Brother Doug mentioned last night about us, again, needing to see the big widescreen, the big picture of the Lord, not just our little circumstance. I'm so focused on my life and my circumstance. He brought them out and worked these miracles in the wilderness 40 years. Verse 37, this is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. And Brother Doug preached on that, about that prophecy. We've had a VBS on that. It's a prophetic thing and a prophetic command. If you don't hear him, you will be destroyed. But if you do hear him, you will be delivered. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel, which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Okay, let's look at that again. Let's back up to verse 37. This is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. So Moses was called of the Lord, used of the Lord. The Lord's power was manifested in bringing Israel to the land where they're standing on, where Brother Stephen is preaching this. And then the testimony and prophecy of Moses is that the Lord's going to raise up one like unto me, and you need to hear him. Okay, so he's got that, as Brother Stephen, as he's preaching, he's got this testimony of Moses, prophecy that Moses gives about what God is going to do, and there's a silhouette, if you will, in their minds of this person that God promised and Moses declared would be sent. Okay? And I say that from the standpoint that someone has been identified, but these Jews don't know who he is. Okay? This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel, which spake to him in Mount Sinai and with our fathers. This is he, okay, that was in the church. And understand about this word church. It's talking about assembly. It's the Lord's nation. It's the Lord's group. It's not like church as we use the word today about our church here, local baptized believers, covenant together, call to the Lord here, and those things. It's talking about the more basic use of the word, and that it's an assembly. Now, they were particular to the Lord, but they're not a church as we are a church today. So it's just using that word that way. The Lord's group, the Lord's nation. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel. So he's talking about Moses said this. He's got the angel of God with him, leading him, the power that's being worked, which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, the angel that spoke to him to give him the law, give him the instruction, give him the direction, and with our fathers that spoke from the mount. He said, this is that Moses, and this is the word of that angel, the angel and with the word of the Lord. And Moses, who received the lively oracles, the word of God, the Pentateuch, to give unto us. So he reaffirms that. To whom our fathers would not obey. Now, Brother Stephen, he puts in another. He's not looking to be aggravating to them, but he's looking to draw them into the parallels. Someone sent. Someone promised. The one that was sent, Moses, is the one that at first, 40 years before, was rejected. Okay? The one that when he was sent of the Lord, as Brother Marcus taught us in the Sunday school class and shown us in the scriptures in the Sunday school class, when the Lord started doing things, they weren't too excited about the result of what he was doing because it increased their burden and made things hard. And that they had doubt until the Lord's plan was manifested and revealed as time went on. So, and then the word that they held to, it was given by this one, this angel of the Lord, there with Moses. So you got Moses, you got the working of the Lord in this angel, this minister, this liaison, this intercessor, mediator, okay, to give unto us, whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and their hearts turned back again to Egypt. They would not obey the Lord. Moses said, they won't listen to me. He said, they've not dishonored you, they've dishonored me. Okay? Two more fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and their hearts turned back again to Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. As for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the hosts of heaven. So now, this is really fast forward, and this is going from that time there before the mount and this worship of those golden calves all the way through the time of the kings, King Saul, King David, their trouble during the time, the 400 years of the judges, and then the kings and that, and then their ultimate end in the divided kingdom, and Israel going into captivity, Judah going in captivity. He's just really flying through that time, several hundred years. He said, they made a calf in those days, offered sacrifice to the idol, rejoiced in the works of their hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. I mean, that's spanning hundreds of years right there. As it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, ye have offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness. Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your god Remphan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. So, a whole bunch of time of the nation, the history of the nation is there. And the thing is, you try to put yourself in the sandals of a Jew in this day, being occupied by Rome, they're in their homeland, and at this point in time, all the history that they know for decades and going back hundreds of years is that somebody else has been ruling over them. Somebody else has been oppressing them. Somebody else has been telling them and saying, having influence, looking to overcome them. They've risen up and they've fallen. The nations were dispersed with the Babylonian captivity, the trouble that they had with Assyria, the trouble that they had with Syria, and that before. He's making a point that their disobedience has brought them the affliction that they have and that they've disobeyed God. He's making that. And he said, we're living here the way we're living here today because of all that. I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Verse 44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, as God had given, speaking unto Moses. The tabernacle of witness that was long before the temple, long before the rebuilt temple that Herod renovated, long before the temple that Brother Solomon even had built that was so glorious in its dedication and blessing by the Lord. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen it, follow the Lord's direction, which our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus. Here, Brother Stephen, he quits referring to this minister, this angel of the Lord, but he says, it's all been by the Lord Jesus. Let's read that again. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, given by the Lord, everything right, everything appropriate for the nation, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen it. And they can think about the scriptures and all that detail and account that's given there in the Pentateuch about that, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers under the days of David. He says the Lord Jesus was working on the nation's behalf in that day. Because this is one of the reasons that I say to you from time to time, this angel, this reference to the angel of the Lord is typically in the Old Testament scriptures a reference to the intercessor, the mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus is the name he gets at his birth, but we know that it is him, his person, I believe, by the things that we know and the things that have transpired here in the New Testament times, who found favor before God, and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. And also this reference here to Jesus can also be talking about Joshua too, okay, because he was the leader after Moses. But I don't think that that's a mistake either, because the Lord is at hand. Remember, the one that is fitted for battle before Jericho. And Joshua says, whose side are you on? You on our side or you on their side? And he said, I'm representing the Lord of hosts here. He said, I've come for God Almighty, who found favor before God, verse 46, and desired to find a tabernacle for the son, for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. He speaks about David, speaks about Solomon. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. And so now here's Brother Stephen. He's fast-forwarded even more and bringing it right down to their time. Isaiah 66, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? He uses this about the blessing and the greatness of the tabernacle, the first temple, the desire of David to build a dwelling place. But then coming back to what the Lord had said from early on there in the disobedience of Israel and of Judah, he said, he reaffirms in Isaiah 66, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Can you really build me a house? Those things of the Lord building, David and Solomon purposing to build the temple, and then the brother Ezra coming to rebuild the temple, and then that renovation that Herod had done for it. The Lord honored those things, but that wasn't going to be the end. It just showed a type and a figure and the Lord dealing with the nation to bring it unto the end that the Lord had always purpose to be. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Here we go. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so did ye. So now Brother Stephen is getting down to today. He said, here's what's happened. Here's what our forefathers did. Here's the working of the Lord. Here's the working of the Lord to bring us here to this time and this day. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? The messengers of the Lord, they always gave them a hard time. And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One. Another reference to Messiah and to the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. He's taking this of Jesus of Nazareth, and he's pulling it right in here and showing the truth of it and telling the truth of it, that it's always been headed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ has always been the one that's been with our nation. God the Son, being that mediator, being that intercessor, and he is sending his men and sending his prophets. It's all been coming, and it's all been centered about our Lord Jesus Christ, the Just One, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation, the instrumentality of angels, and have not kept it. You got the Word of God. We received the Word. We had the Word of God, the oracle of God right amongst us, and as a nation, we rejected it. The Lord spoke to us. The Lord led us in the wilderness. The Lord did miracles. You thought that that was the end of it, but the end of it is in this one that has come. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. You know why? Because it's true. It was true. Remember, the Lord gave us here in the Word in chapter 6 that as Brother Stephen preached and declared the truth of the Lord and about Jesus being fulfillment of all the Old Testament, in chapter 6, verse 10, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake. It was the truth. And here's what we see. Here's what we see. When the truth comes forward, the majesty and the power of the Lord, just like it did with Pharaoh, like Brother Mark is showing us and teaching in the scriptures regarding Brother Moses and his use of the Lord to engage Pharaoh in that. When the truth and the power, the majesty, the working of God comes forth without the working of the Spirit and the heart and the individual, this is what you have, cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth, which is a terrible thing to be. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. You know, everything that Brother Stephen has said has been sanctioned by the Lord. Stephen, you've told it true. You've told it right. You've told it right down the line and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of God." You know, didn't Jesus tell that the nation would see that? Now, Brother Stephen is seeing it. But did he not prophesy that you'll know that I'm he when you sit me on the right hand of power and glory? And here, Brother Stephen, it's just another reminder of what Jesus had preached and has taught. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city, Brother Stephen, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he's speaking to him. He sees him. He's heading out of this world and this life to go to his Lord. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Just like he had known and maybe heard the Lord Jesus saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. But death to the Lord, for the Lord's children, is sleep, because he lives forevermore with his Lord and Savior, doesn't he? What is it that all these things that the Lord gives us in the Old Testament, where are they heading? What are they telling us? What are they pointing us to? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's been in the middle of it. He's in the middle of it. And he's going to be in the middle of it. And I just want to, one more thing that I want to say. How is it with you? How is it going to be with you? Are you going to be like those that are cut to the heart and say, No, I do not want that, even though I see it for the truth, even though I know others believe it and take it to heart. I do not want that. I will not believe that. I'm not going to go that way. I despise to be told the truth and just will not yield to that. Or will you be, and I pray that you would be, and it's not by mistake that this is mentioned, that you be like this young man whose name was Saul. You know what? These things the Lord used to prick at his heart, to trouble him, to gnaw at him. The Lord breaking him down in his religious pride and his conceitedness and his self-wisdom, picking at his heart and pricking at his heart. You know what? That young man whose name was Saul, the Lord saved. He was brought to the end of him. He yielded to the truth that it is all about the Lord. And all that he held dear in the way that he did as a Pharisee, he had it wrong. Now, not the historical account, but the direction and the purpose of it all. And that all of it is, was, and is, and will be in the found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has used the nation of Israel, used Brother Abraham and his children to bring Christ unto us. May the Lord help us, each and every one of us, that we would see that, rejoice in it, and receive it.